Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure on this Friday, February 7th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Janelle Hodges. Janelle has been on the podcast before, but she was one of our speakers at the women's retreat, and I want to share with you her message at the end of the podcast. At the retreat, she also did a breakout session on the Liturgy of the Ordinary, where she talked about overlooked routines and small daily moments where you can connect with God in powerful ways. So I'll ask her a couple of questions about that breakout, and then you'll hear her powerful message about God being with her in the midst of trials, her tribulation celebration. Thank you, Janelle, for joining us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back. Today I am reading Joshua 6, 1 through 5, and 20 through 22 from the NIV. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all of the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have the seven priests carry the trumpets of ram's horns in the front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, and everyone will march straight in." And now 20 through 22. When the trumpets sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpets, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women and young and old cattle, sheep and donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." Our second reading today is from Matthew 10, verses 16 through 31. "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At the time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the town of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor the servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like the teacher, and the servant like their master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the member of the household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roof. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." And our third reading is from Proverbs 7, 24 through 27. Remember, here we are talking about the dangers of the adulterous woman. "Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many of the victims she has brought down, her slain, are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death.
Thank you so much, Janelle, for joining the podcast and for reading for us today. Before we hear your talk from the women's retreat, I want to talk to you a little bit about what some people call liturgy of the ordinary. What do those words mean to you?
Well, honestly, liturgy is kind of that big, scary seminary word. And so for me, liturgy is just the everyday rhythms of how we work scripture into our hearts or into our daily lives and how we can find that repetition or rhythm of writing that scripture on our hearts every day.
So for example, at meal times, how do we help our families or those that we have table fellowship with to understand more about Jesus?
I think that everybody kind of does that differently. And right away, the first one we think of, oh, we say blessings over our food every time. That's something we do. But like in my family, we light a candle every time we come to do table fellowship. We don't even call dinner anymore. We call when we come to the table, that is our table fellowship. So we say, oh, come down to table fellowship. And then we light a candle. And when we light that, we have a big 3-wick candle and we light it, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we light it. We say, Christ is light. And so my girls run to that table and they know, hey, they don't want to be late, not for dinner. They don't want to be late for table fellowship. They want to be there. When we light that candle, we bring Christ to our table so that they can tell us about their day and they can talk to us and we can be together and have that time.
We also light a candle. This comes from an idea we got out of a book called Habits of the Household. And May counts us off, 1, 2, 3, and we all say, Christ is light. But I, like you, have found that it reframes the dinner table. We also talk at dinner time, specifically a high, low, and a buffalo. Tell us your slant on that one.
So we used to do the high, low, and my girls actually came up with, they didn't like high, low because they said, we are ending on a low. So we have flipped it around and we do low highs now so that we can leave each person's story on how their day ended on a high instead of on a low.
At the retreat, you also talked about some of your habits at drop-off, like when you drop the girls off at school.
Yes, we have a liturgy for dropping my girls off, and it is a very long mantra. And so that mantra started when they were little, and as they got older, it evolved, and it went from, do we have our thinking cap on? Do we have our blinders where we're not paying attention to all the things that are going around us, but we're focused on what we're supposed to be focused on? And it kept growing and growing. And eventually every year they would face something different. And now I ask them, I say, who do you belong to? And they tell me, Mommy, Daddy, and God. And I say, who do you represent? Well, Mommy, Daddy, and God. I say, and whose are you? Mommy, Daddy, and God. I said, that's right. I say, and what are you? The chosen daughter of the risen King. I said, that's right. And I say, no other label will do. And they say, that's right. No other label will do.
If you're interested in more, Janelle has a few resources that she compiled for the women on the retreat. And also, she and I are going to try to tag team maybe a Sunday morning Bible study session sometime in the next year for 3 or 4 weeks where we talk about ways to integrate faith into every aspect as you wake in the morning, as you're making your bed, in the shower, as you're driving down the road. So I'm really excited to do that with you coming up.
Me too. One of my favorites is I hate replying to email. I get so much email, and I think adding my liturgy to before I start sending an email and replying to email has really been powerful in my work and in my career. And one thing I like about liturgy is it's not, oh, this is for women, or, oh, this is for moms. They're the only ones who need liturgy. I think what I have found is as I'm looking in my spiritual life is liturgy really hits everyone. And as I looked over my life, it was really my dad who started liturgy in my life. And when I look back, it was him who, he didn't know it was called liturgy, but that's where liturgy really started. So I really hope y'all can check it out. Look for our Sunday school class or a growth group that we're going to be having at some point, whatever it turns out to be. But we're happy to share.
Janelle, thank you for that wonderful conversation about how to incorporate our faith in everyday life. We will now listen to your talk, your testimony at the women's retreat, and I'm so blessed by it, and I know everyone that listens along will be blessed as well. Hope you all have a great day and look forward to reading God's Word with you tomorrow.
First, a little bit about me. I grew up the daughter of a Navy jet pilot and a youth minister. We moved all over the country, making new friends every 18 to 24 months up until high school, so I was never in the same place for very long. There were only two certainties in my life growing up. First, God blessed me with best friends in my two sisters. Whenever it was time to say goodbye to friends and move someplace new, my sisters were always there, ready to share in the next adventure. And second, a strong church family was always the first thing we found when we moved to a new duty station. Today, I am a happily married wife to a good man, Chris Hodges, and the mother of two beautiful girls. We moved to Mountain Brook about 6 years ago and joined Mountain Brook Baptist Church shortly thereafter. Now my daughters are 11 and 9 and attend Brookwood Forest Elementary School. So for today, I have decided to share with you a few times where God has walked beside me and Psalms 28, 6 and 7 has come alive for me. In these times in my life, I have found it best to have a tribulation celebration. Because I know if God has seen me to that specific time, then he will see me through it. I have to believe that things that he has planned for me are far better than anything that I can plan. And I'm a planner. Mm-hmm. I have to trust. It's in these times that I have to focus on the second part of verse 7. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. Now, this is not always easy. And it takes practice. But today, I'm going to share with you some of the moments in my life where I have seen God through my Psalms 28, 6, and 7 moments, my tribulation celebrations. I walked in tribulation celebration with the Lord when I was a kid and school was hard. I struggled because I was one of the first cases as a child with a learning disability in the state of California. Teachers had no idea how to deal with me. They were not trained on how to work with a child like me. The word neurodiversity did not exist. Special education was just getting its legs under it. IDEA was not in existence yet. School was beyond difficult, but the Lord was there. And I found success. With my parents and a few special teachers and a lot of hard work, I found that what I had, what the world might classify as a learning disability, I learned that I had a learning difference. I walked in tribulation celebration with the Lord when I was in middle school, and I experienced death for the first time. Death had always been something for the elderly or your pet goldfish. But that year, one of my closest friends died. I will never forget Andre. He was in a group of about six kids that had accepted me, no questions asked. Four boys, two girls, plus now me. The seven of us were super close. But Andre had childhood leukemia. He was in remission, and we thought we were in the clear. We were kids. We were invincible. Well, it came back. We decided to fight it together. The super seven. When Andre lost his hair, we all shaved our heads. You have to remember how long ago this was. So yes, even us girls shaved our heads, and we made quite a stir. When Andre had to go on a special diet, we all went on the special diet. I think we all really thought that Andre was going to make it. We lost Andre before the end of the school year. I leaned into God like never before. In the end, I knew my friend was with God. Andre and I had talked about God, and I knew his faith. The Lord was with me in my sadness, and I found peace. I walked in tribulation celebration with the Lord when I blew out my knee for the third time in the middle of a soccer game, changing my entire world. At the time, my friend group, my time, my future plans, my everything hinged on my place on an elite travel team that I was a part of. But I had destroyed my knee beyond recognition, and back then repair was not quite what it is now. I had to find a new direction. My friends from the team came and hang out for a bit, but not for long. School suddenly became a very lonely place. My schedule that used to be packed with practices and tournaments suddenly was very, very open, and I had nothing to fill it with. But the Lord was there, and I found my way. In fact, it was a girl from my youth group who invited me to join her at lunch that made all the difference. I walked in tribulation celebration with the Lord my freshman year in college when I got what I thought was the flu. I decided to handle it myself. You know, I'm an adult now, right? It was just the flu. 6 days later, I had lost over 10 pounds, and the young man that I was dating took one look at me and drove me home. He said I looked like The Walking Dead. My parents took me to the hospital. Turns out the flu had randomly gotten into my organs and my liver was failing. The doctors in the hospital in Pensacola didn't have a machine that could read the numbers because they were too high. A chaplain was called in to speak to my parents. It was decided that they would medevac me to Ochsner Hospital in New Orleans for a liver transplant. I don't remember the transplant or the transport to New Orleans from Pensacola in an ambulance. No clue. I don't remember the team drawing on my abdomen with a black Sharpie marker. No clue. I don't remember the countless vials of blood that they took. No, none at all. Ask my mom. She has lots of great stories about it. I remember a woman standing over me and praying and telling me that it was going to be all right. In my state, I thought she was an angel. Maybe she was. But it turns out that the patient in the room next door to me was a pastor of one of the local churches, and his congregation had set up a 24-hour prayer vigil over him. And they had decided to include his neighbors in the prayer vigil. I was his neighbor. Well, my liver numbers stopped climbing. They plateaued, and they held steady. The doctors had no idea why the damage was stopping, but they decided to hold steady and not do the transplant. Interesting fact, the liver is the only organ that can regenerate itself. Who knew? So after that, my numbers slowly began to go down, and I began to recover. And yes, the Lord was with me in the very long road to recovery. It took months to recover and to be able to return to school, but the Lord was with me as I walked through this season of life, and eventually I found my way. I have walked in tribulation celebration with the Lord when my husband has had to travel a lot for work, and it feels like we're walking on two different paths. We've always found our way back to each other, and God reminds me I'm not alone. I have walked in tribulation celebration with the Lord through Lindsay's diagnoses and challenges, and then again with Caitlin's. Both of my girls are neurodiverse, and he continues to be there and guide Chris and I as we work to parent these two amazing girls. Even though at times it's extremely challenging and it is never traditional. But the Lord is with us and we walk forward as a family in love and faith. I walked in tribulation celebration with the Lord when my dear friend, mentor, and boss came to me and told me he had a rare form of ALS. As fast as I could research the disease, I watched my friend quickly fade and leave the world, earning his angel wings. Well, I know everyone in heaven celebrated his homecoming. He left as a man of great faith. The hole he left on earth was enormous. Our team was never the same, and without a contingency plan, our company was at a loss. In the days that followed, we lost not only our boss and our friend, but we also lost our jobs and our project and our work family as well. The months that followed were long. And once again, I leaned into the Lord, and I worked hard to celebrate, because I knew and I had to trust that his plans were better than mine. And slowly but surely, things got better. And while I still miss my friend, God continues to open doors in my career that I wouldn't have planned for, and I wouldn't have even seen. I walked in tribulation celebration with the Lord when Lindsay was bit on the throat by a giant King Shepherd dog. Only two summers ago in Mississippi, I will never forget the shock of seeing the dog grab her neck and hold her down. The owner of the dog had to tackle him to get her off her. I just froze. Chris scooped Lindsay up and started yelling at me. Only then did I snap out of it. I grabbed Caitlin by the hand and our dog and ran for the car. I got Caitlin and our dog loaded, and Chris said I had to hold Lindsay while he found a hospital. So I climbed in the front seat and he loaded her across my lap and told me I had to hold her neck closed and apply pressure to try and stop the bleeding. So I grabbed that mom stash of napkins. Y'all know the one I'm talking about. Y'all have it right there in the front seat of the car, right? And that's what I did. I held her neck closed. And as I looked down at Lindsay, she wasn't crying. Her eyes were very wide and her color was ashen. And she just kept talking to me in this weak little voice. Please, Mama. Please, Mama, I don't want to die. Don't let me die. Okay, Mama? Over and over again, my baby kept asking me not to let her die. Y'all, I prayed so hard. And then I looked at my little girl and I said, oh, girl, God's not going to let you die. We're not going to let you die right here in this car. You're not going to die. And I reassured her because I knew God was going to let my girl die. And you know what? The Lord was in my car that day. The Lord blessed Chris as he drove, and we found an ER. It was probably the worst ER I've ever done. It was awful. But we made it through it. Once we were in Birmingham, Lindsay kept telling me how she still hurt all over. And she kept saying inside her mouth hurt. She refused ice cream. She refused everything. So we sent pictures to my sister in Virginia, who happens to be a doctor. And she called us immediately and said, honey, the work is not done. So we called our friend and neighbor who happened to be a plastic surgeon. He too looked at the pictures and said, I'll meet you in my office immediately. Yeah. So he opened the office, and sure enough, we had to get all the glue that they had put on her neck. We had to get it all off, and we had to put a ton of internal and external stitches on her neck. He then started exploring her mouth. The surgeon found that apparently the dog was so large that part of his jaw went through into her jaw from the top. He never found the end of either puncture wound. He said we were extremely lucky, millimeters over, and Lindsay would no longer be here. He said even the owner tackling the dog could have caused the dog to crush Lindsay's airway. The entire thing was a miracle that Lindsay survived. I have no doubt that God had sent his angels there to protect my baby. The Lord was with my family as we navigated the situation. He put the right people in our path, from my sister to the plastic surgeon to even Angie Jones, who had helped my little girl overcome her fear and fall back in love with dogs. Today, I've shared with you some of my moments of tribulation celebration, the moments in my life when things were hard and I cried out to the Lord, moments when I chose to trust him and celebrate the outcome before it was revealed or while I was going through it, because I knew God was bigger than anything that I was facing. He was my strength. He was my shield. But please know that my walk with God is not only in these moments. He's also with me in the high moments in my life, like when I earned my PhD or walked down the aisle and married my best friend or the birth of my children. One day I'll have to tell you about how we cheered Lindsay into the world or laughed Caitlin into it. God walks with me every day, in the big moments and the small, as I work to balance motherhood of my two kids or being a mom, working, serving, all the things that we do every day. God is with me. He's my constant. I am not going to tell you I'm perfect. I do not get my family to church every Sunday and Wednesday, and I have failed at a few Bible reading plans. But I keep trying, and I keep coming back. That's how a relationship works. I am thankful for my relationship with the Lord and blessed beyond measure that I can walk in with him in my tribulation celebrations when those seasons fall upon me. And now I try and teach my girls to have that kind of relationship, to live in the part of Psalms 28, 6, and 7, and have tribulation celebrations. For if he has brought them to it, he will see them through it. I guess in the end, what I have come to rely on, you know that quote, the one that says, the Lord will never give you more than you can handle? I completely and utterly disagree with that quote. You will absolutely, positively get more than you can handle, but you will never get more than he can handle. And I thank him every day for that and for walking with me through it all. Thank you.